Welcome back. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Of course, we know that we are living in stormy political times, and as with storms, always with storms, people start shouting to hear each other. And it is not conducive to thought. You know, the expression, when the guns are silent, the muses are heard, and they won't be heard now for a while. I've been following the discussion about how to peacefully resolve the crisis created by the confrontation taking place over Ukraine and in Ukraine, the Russian army having entered Ukraine, and the with the avowed aim of demilitarizing Ukraine and dealing with the issue of the difficulties between the great powers, that is particularly the United States through a vehicle called NATO. And watching the debates at the United Nations, I urge everybody to do it. Do your own homework. And we all know we have to be safe from propagandists. So watch for yourself, take your notepad, do your homework, and see what you can make of things. There is the what they call the highway approach. You know, you go to the mainstream. I've never been a mainstream type myself. I like the blue highways. So when they were debating, I listened to the United States and I listened to Russia. There were other people talking at the Security Council, and they will be in the future. So please don't be confused by whatever you're seeing next. But I want to talk about what I saw. One individual stood out, or two, because there are other people on the planet besides Europeans. And I do think that we have a little problem of Europeanness, Eurocentric kind of thinking. I think it's striking that the government of India, their representative, abstained at the Security Council. And in commenting, he said Europe seems to have a problem in creating an architecture for peace amongst the states. And I'm glad he said that. And for those who worry about, you know, there's a lot of partisanship in Asia, keep in mind that Pakistan, the prime minister of Pakistan, was in Moscow at the time of the Russian move into Ukraine. And Pakistan is remaining, let's put it, on the sidelines while this is sorted out. Everybody says they want to maintain the security and territorial integrity, etc. I know that there's an argument about that, what people are saying, but at the United Nations, I didn't hear anybody say different. But the Indian representative said, Europeans need to solve this problem of an art. And he used the word architecture, which I like, which they should agree on a way to guarantee one another's security. That was striking. And I raised the issue of Pakistan because India and Pakistan, as we know, are not exactly close. A third state in the region, Bangladesh, takes the same view, which is, again, this is interesting. Rival Asia, these Asian states, which have their own difficulties, all seem to agree about this. There was a voice from Kenya, much praised, by the way. And I noticed the Toronto Star featured an interest in this individual who spoke on behalf of Kenya. And because he said that we don't want to be, we have to learn to live with borders. He says, as bad as we had the colonial experience, and we think it's important. to maintain the borders, even though colonialists may have drawn them, and he was applauded for that. And as I say, the Star reran his words. But I was watching when he spoke again, and this was after the vote, which was 11-5. We'll go into details later. But at any rate, he voted for the condemnation of Russia, but he was asked, then asked each representative if they wanted to comment. And he said, to explain his vote, that in explaining, he said that he wanted to remind everyone of something important for his government. And that was that when the United States and NATO bombed Libya, that on that occasion, I'm quoting him, on that occasion, the African Union sought more time for diplomacy. Its counsel was ignored. And what resulted was not peace or the safety and security of the Libyan people. Instead, terror was unleashed on African peoples in the countries of the south, to the south of Libya. Further on that, he says, we cannot but recall that Africa's Sahel region is in turmoil due to the hasty and ill-considered intervention in Libya a decade ago. So he's reminding us that Africa has a few issues with the United Nations. And he said the African Union went to the UN and they asked for diplomacy and were ignored, and with terrible repercussions, by the way. So I don't think the Star is going to reprint that. They didn't reprint it. They did. They liked his first speech. Apparently they didn't like his second one. And another representative spoke, and I'm talking about the world. You know, there is North-South. Kissinger said imperialism or the empires only function East-West, and he said he wasn't interested in the South, right? He didn't think that people wasted their time. Well, actually, the South is very present now at the United Nations. Check out the views of South Africa and Tanzania and others on this issue. But another voice was Mexico. Mexico, too, voted to condemn the Russian invasion. And again, like the representative of Kenya, they decided to add a point. I don't think this was very welcome, but the representative of Mexico said, we are voting to condemn because we understand how important it is to maintain the sovereignty and territorial integrity of nations. He said, we know this in Mexico. This was Ambassador Fuentes. We know this because, he said, in 1846, we were attacked by the United States, and they took half our country, said the representative to the Security Council of Mexico. As I say, I take the Blue Highways approach. There are other people who have voices. Other people have issues that are not generally listened to. He cited 1846. That's a crucial fact, which I don't think would have emerged had this debate not happened. But also, had not Mr. Obrador been elected president of Mexico, by the way. Obrador has refused to go along with treating Venezuela as a pariah. Obrador has recognizes the government of Venezuela, despite the fact the Canadian government says that the president of Venezuela is some individual named Guaido, who is a non-entity, except that he has the backing of a group led by Canada, the United States, to try to remove the government of Venezuela through this individual Guaido. So those voices, in my mind, were very helpful. I liked also the remarks of the Chinese representative, the ambassador. He said, we want to see dialogue. We want this matter settled peacefully. And we believe that Ukraine we'd like them to be a bridge between East and West and benefit everyone, East and West. A bridge, not an outpost. That concept, that word is very important because there seems to be a thinking here that thinks that there has to be a contest, that we can't accommodate one another's interests. That's a fatal idea. And the notion that we would treat a country as the concept being that they will be an outpost for us against the other guy is extremely dangerous. The Chinese, I raise this point about their idea of solution. I think it's a very reasonable one. They are a major power. They are not part of the European theater where much of this drama is taking place. They have their own problems. They certainly have a problem with dealing with a very aggressive U.S. foreign policy towards them. I just want to make sure say again that it's rather striking that China and India and Pakistan and Bangladesh are all taking a line of saying, let's have dialogue and let's have diplomacy. And they are not in their own neighborhood very close. They have their problems, but it's very striking that humanity, India has 1 billion and more population, China is 1.4 billion. And so when we hear from particularly US representatives about the international community with the world, you have to keep in mind that there's a lot of the world, larger part of it than the part that the United States leaders are referring to. The majority actually don't agree with the policies of the Western powers, the old colonial powers and the new ones. And so it would behoove us to pay close attention. Another striking moment here in this matter of Ukraine, Russia, though, is that has come out that the United States had asked Israel to join in sponsoring the resolution, which was last week now. Israel did not join that. And it got to the point where, according to Israeli media, the U.S. indicated they were unhappy. Actually, the Israeli leader, Mr. Bennett, offered to mediate. My understanding is that was rejected. It's been predicted now that they will join in a resolution. But of course, it is noticed that from the beginning of this altercation, in which NATO plays a major role, that Israel was not pleased at this problem that it was presenting for them. And I raise this because there's a second country, which is in this instance, supportive of Russia, but also, saying that there should be another course to resolving the problems, and that's Syria. So here we are talking about Syria and Israel, who I think we can clearly say don't like each other, but both countries resisted the idea of going down the road of turning this into a confrontation, or they certainly wanted to avoid it. Looking at the world from outside Europe helps us to understand that there are other interests involved. On the matter of NATO, it should be a concern. I don't understand why everybody's so blithely talking here about being part of NATO as somehow a positive thing or even a good choice. NATO, as the Kenyan ambassador to the United Nations said, bombed Libya and has created holy hell in the region south of Libya. Not only destroyed Libya, but made it havoc in the region, and that had been raised by the African Union, and we spoke of it on the Taylor Report. South Africa led the way in saying, please stop the bombing of Libya and work out a diplomatic resolution to the situation, one that preserves the population and doesn't destroy the place. And they were ignored. And this is very important, because we're talking about, you know, I notice there's a kind of fetish about saying this is happening in Europe. American media is completely, and BBC, all caught up with this word Europe and how somehow this is very significant. Of course it's significant, because there's a violence, loss of life, and it's terrible. But NATO did bomb Serbia, and for a considerable period of time, they bombed. And Serbia, former Yugoslavia, that's part of Europe. And something came out of that. One of the things that resulted from the assault on Serbia and breaking up the Yugoslavia was that Kosovo, which is Serbian, according to the United Nations, hasn't been changed, the status. Kosovo was removed from Serbia and now is a semi-recognized, I'm gonna call it, independent state. And it has something very special in it. This all happened post 1999. There is a large military base, United States military, in Kosovo called Bondsteel. I would suggest listeners look it up. According to human rights organizations, Bondsteel, besides being a major US military installation in Kosovo, which belongs to Syria, but pardon me, Serbia, but is not, it doesn't have any longer a established definition of what it is. It's applying to be a member of NATO. I think it has a good shot, by the way. I would expect to get that. But if Americans seemed confident of what was going to happen, they built a major military installation, and some of the operations there are called Little Guantanamo. I raise all this because of, I think, sober consideration of what NATO is and why it made these strategic decisions to move eastward with a predictable result. We never have any discussions of that. And it's a matter of countries wishing to be independent. If you join NATO, your days of being independent are over. NATO is a gang, political gang, and military, and it's very hard to go in and then come out. NATO was created in post-World War II, probably for bad reasons, and it's unfortunate it was created at all. We had the United Nations. I think everyone should study what NATO is, because it is very dangerous going forward for anybody, states that join it. And this is just something to underline. Diana Johnston, who has been a guest on the Taylor Report, has written a very good article for Consortium News. She was once the one of the publicists, major kind of figure inside the development of the Green Movement in Europe, which she decided has moved to the right, and she's written about it. But she has an article in the latest issue of Consortium News for a good understanding of the NATO business and of those committed to building military alliances at the expense of other countries, the danger of it. I really recommend folks go to that. And I'll just say again, 1846, according to the Mexican ambassador, the United States took half his country by aggression. He said that at the Security Council. I would call that a great moment, because I'm sure no Mexican representative sitting at the Security Council or in the United Nations ever stood up in front of their northern neighbor, the United States, and told the world that we lost half our country to the US, and therefore we care a lot about sovereignty. It was his way of saying to the Americans, where do you get off saying all these things about peoples and their sovereignty when you took half our country by war? This is the Taylor Report, and we're glad you're with us. See you next week.